With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Reggie Miller will stop by. Scottie Pippen will stop by. Has Scotty been in the news lately? I haven't been following here. Scotty will join us coming up in the final hour of the show. Your phone calls always welcome. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Suns go up 3-1 on the Clippers. Bucks up 2-1 on the Hawks. We'll dissect that coming up in a little bit. Clippers at the Suns. Game 5 coming up tonight. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. McLovin, what kind of poll questions are you thinking today before I get to my big announcement?
Okay, it's polarizing, but I think we need to get into it. Has this been a good or a bad postseason for Paul George of the Clippers?
Okay, we'll get to that in a moment. What else?
Okay, who is the guy in this playoffs that you'd never heard of before that now you definitely know? I would have just nominated a couple. Clippers' Terrence Mann, Suns' Campaign, the Bucks' Bobby Portis, or John Collins of Atlanta? Did people know Atlanta? There are all these weird names that are emerging. Who's the guy? Is anybody catching your fancy as a star? I know you know these guys.
Terrence Mann has been interesting. Because you think of Field of Dreams with James Earl Jones's character. And that's the only reason why. It's like Terrence Mann. And then that's a character from a movie.
All right, one more quick NBA one before you get to the announcement.
Okay.
Who has the most to add to their legacy in this NBA playoffs? Is it obviously Chris Paul, or could you put Giannis or Chris Middleton on that list as well?
Well, Giannis is going to have time. Chris Paul doesn't have time. This might be the last call for Chris Paul. And I would say, Chris Paul, get to the finals, and if you happen to win a championship, that's sort of legacy defining for Chris Paul, because he's the most decorated player probably in the history of the NBA who's never been to the NBA Finals. We'll settle on a poll question. We got a play of the day, stat of the day, and your phone calls are always welcome. You know that I've been passionate about one person getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I've been talking about John Facenda. And I never met John Facenda. Let me give you just a little taste of the voice of God. This is the NFL's voice, John Facenda, just to give you an idea of what that sound was growing up with NFL films, how important it was to an entire generation. Here is the late John Facenda.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
So it was a while ago, and I talked to McLovin about this. Actually, I reached out to the Pro Football Hall of Fame because John Facenda is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Baseball celebrates its voices. And I thought, why doesn't the NFL celebrate its voices or the voice of the NFL? He's a contributor, and he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I wrote a letter to David Baker. David is the president of the Hall of Fame, and he was very nice, very polite, welcoming. And I said, look, David, I don't know John Facenda. I never met him. I don't know his family. I just know what he meant to me growing up. And David said, submit a letter, and then I'll pass it on. Yesterday, I get a phone call, and it's from the Pro Football Hall of Fame to tell us John Facenda is going in. He is the recipient of the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. And let me bring in David Baker, the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. First of all, David, thank you for putting up with me. And second of all, this is awesome. This is great news. It made my weekend. So thank you.
Dan, you're easy to put up with because we love what you do and we appreciate all you've done for the game. But this was kind of a unique experience because I remember when you called me first before you sent me that letter. And it was it's a process much like all of our Hall of Famers. But the Pete Rozelle Award is really unique because it's about excellence in broadcasting football. And John Facenda, as you know, was not really a broadcaster. He didn't broadcast games. He didn't, he wasn't like one of the guys in the booths there. But he was at NFL Films, like you said, referred to as the voice of God. And for a whole generation of football fans, this guy is a voice, that baritone, is synonymous with strength and power and the character of the NFL. And he helped us love the game. And it's fitting that in a year that Steve Sable goes in as a Hall of Famer to join his dad, Ed Sable, as a Hall of Famer, both will have bronze busts there, that John Facenda will receive the Pete Rozelle Award for Excellence in Broadcasting.
Thank you for everything here. Like I said to you when I talked to you and I wrote the letter, I never met him. I just know what he meant to me and an entire generation, and hopefully a new generation gets to experience John Facenda. But I want to thank the Pro Football Hall of Fame and certainly you, David, for entertaining this idea.
Hey, I promise you, Dan, we're going to keep his legacy alive now forever. That's what we do at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But what's pretty cool, and this is a real compliment to you, and you know, I'm sure your listeners know it, but when you called me, you weren't calling me as Dan Patrick Celebrity. You were calling as a fan.
Yeah.
You loved the game. You loved what this guy had done. And for so many of us on Saturdays, you know, it was being in front of the TV set to watch NFL Films, Football Follies, or, you know, those mythical things that Steve Sable would weave together and John Facenda would narrate. And when you sent your letter, which was well done, and it went on to our committee of selectors for this Pete Rozelle Award, it kind of opened the door to people saying, yeah, this is somebody who should be recognized. This is somebody who, for not only for this generation of fans, but probably for generations to come, because things like you just played for the autumn wind, it is synonymous with an NFL. And this year he'll go in as the recipient of the Pete Rozelle Award. We actually have what we think is going to be the greatest gathering in football ever that's going to take place in Canton to kick off the 102nd season of the NFL. Because we have really two classes. With the pandemic having canceled last year's enshrinement, we will have this incredible centennial class that will celebrate, the 100th year of the NFL, where we were having 20 Hall of Famers for 2020, and now we have the class of 2021. So we have the unique situation of having two Pete Rozelle recipients that will be honored, Joe Buck for 2020, He was actually honored in the middle of the game from Cleveland at halftime. That's when he was informed. And because John is no longer around, his son Jack will receive the award on August 6th at the Gold Jacket presentation. But we thought it appropriate, since you put in the nomination, that we call you and give you the good news.
David, I look forward to it, and thank you again. We appreciate everything the Pro Football Hall of Fame has done.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you for all you do for the game.
That is David Baker. He is the president CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hey. Nice work. Nice work.
I got that call late yesterday afternoon, and it was a Cleveland area code, and I go, who's calling me from Cleveland? I got friends there. My sister lives there, and I'm going, I don't know who this is. I pick up, and I go, yep. He said, hey, such and such, Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I go, I can't go in. And then he said, well, no, you're not going in. I said, he goes, John Facenda is. I go, what? He said, yeah, John Facenda is going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I take no credit for it other than just to open their eyes to and their ears to somebody who – like, that was a big deal. NFL Films was huge. And I fought long and hard behind the scenes for Steve Sable, Ed Sable. I mean, what they did for the game, you can make a case, not that anybody's going to an argument, they were as instrumental as anybody in the history of the sport in growing it. When you talk about contributions, that's a contribution. And John Facenda was a newsman in Philadelphia. He wasn't even a sports guy, but he had that voice, and how they created NFL Films and those features was really instrumental in my love of the game, or growing to love the game even more. So John Facenda is going into the Hall of Fame, and thank you again to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for listening to me. They probably thought, oh, here's the Dan Patrick guy again. Yes, Paul.
First of all, good job. But secondly, I think you brought this up maybe a little over a year ago. I can't remember when the date, but we were all surprised that he wasn't in, because if you're, I think, 40 plus, you'd kind of assume John Facenda is one of the blocks of the building of the NFL. And I used to watch these tapes, these VHS tapes, and his voice was on it. That's how I got to know him. So I think it's one of those things. It's almost like what you did, Dan, was like the Veterans Committee, where you saw an oversight that maybe no one really thought about. But when people move on to more modern broadcasters, and they probably forgot about some of the older ones.
But also, he didn't do play-by-play, and he wasn't a studio host. Like, he was just an announcer. He was just a voice. And I think that was the hard part, that I was trying to push through that or knock it down with just, what is the true football broadcaster? And I said, he doesn't do play-by-play, and he's not a studio host. He just is the voice of the NFL. And that's, to me, worthy enough to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, McLovin.
I love the irony, too, that you tried out for the NFL Films. That's just the great part about it.
When John passed away, and I did a feature at NFL Films when I was at CNN back in the mid-80s, and I thought, while I'm here, I should probably let them hear this voice. And I went into a recording studio at NFL Films, probably the same recording studio that John Facenda was in. And I gave a read, but I gave a read as John Facenda. I didn't do it in just my normal voice. I went down like this. The silver and black clad masters of intimidation nearly took Joe. I think they were just being polite. They're like, okay, all right. I said, let me know. I said, it'll be hard for me to come all the way down here to NFL Films, but, let me know. Like, I think I got a shot here. I'm still waiting to hear back from NFL Films, but I've heard back from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that's awesome. And McLovin, thank you as well, because we were bouncing ideas. And I just said, I got to craft something that is going to sound and look professional, and that, my passion as a football fan, as a kid, is going to be incorporated in this. And you were very instrumental in helping me with that.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I Films is a Philadelphia company. It was a big deal. They used to have assemblies where they would bring you into the auditorium to watch a 1984 Eagles highlight film.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they'd be like, despite the 4-11 record, the hopes are good for gangrene or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been 4-12, not 4-11.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't remember back when I was a kid, there were 14 games.
Oh, yeah, 14 games. Yeah,
I didn't know.
I used to love NFL films in the 80s used to do a team, like a yearbook video.
Yeah.
You could order it. Like, I think if you bought Sports Illustrated, they'd send you a copy.
Yeah.
And if your team sucked, it'd be like, Chicago Bears, building for the future. Yeah, we're 5-11.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or I don't know, take over a minute to down a 2-liter? Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Reggie Miller on the call alongside Marv Albert, Eastern Conference Finals between the Bucks and the Hawks on TNT. And Reggie joins us now. What would you ask Scottie Pippen?
His name has been in the news lately, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I probably would ask Scottie. He is perhaps the second half of one of the most famous duos in our game ever, right? I would want to know if he ever won a one-on-one game with Michael Jordan in their prime during practice, because Michael was notorious for playing one-on-one with his teammates. I want to know if at all Scottie ever won one of those games.
Do you think they're friends?
Define friends.
Off the court?
I think they are. Look, they shared too much bub not to be friends. I do. I think they're friends. I think, look, The Last Dance, in my opinion, didn't portray Scottie in the way, as a competitor going against Scottie, as I felt against him. It was Michael's doc. It was from his point of view.
Yeah, but Mike was rough on him.
He didn't have to talk
about the dumbest contract ever signed, and I don't know.
But let me ask you a question. Right. When you were watching that doc, did you say that to yourself? That was the dumbest contract ever signed? Did you say it? I said it. Everyone said it. So when Michael says it, he's wrong?
Does it need to be said how many years later? If everybody knew it, then why does it need to be said again?
Well, you know, Michael loves taking jabs.
That's true.
And I think they're friends because, again, they've shared so many unbelievable moments together. And I do agree with Scottie. There would be no 6 without Scottie. I do agree with that. But I think where it kind of gets inflated from Scottie's point of view is Michael was definitely the alpha. He's got to understand that. And I think that kind of gets blurred in the lines a little bit with Pip.
But I don't understand this, Reg, because he's saying that when Phil Jackson picked Tony Kukoc to take the last shot in the playoffs against the Knicks 1994, he said, go back and look at it and you can see it. It was my team. Why are you telling me to take the ball out, game tying shot? He says, read between the fine lines. Then he goes on to say that it was a racial move to give Tony Kukoc a rise. So no further explanation of that.
No. See, I don't agree with that. No. There's plenty of times I've been a decoy on the Pacers team. There's just times when that has to be the case because everyone assumes and knows the ball is going to go to you. And sometimes you have to be a decoy. The whole racial point. No, absolutely not. I don't roll with.
But Kukoc, you only had 1.8 seconds, whatever. Kukoc would have been a better deep shooter than Scottie Pippen.
And he made the shot, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess I guess Phil was right.
But I'm also trying to understand, Scottie, it's not a midlife crisis because I don't know Scottie Pippen. But it feels like that with the reaction to the documentary. He says what he says about the last shot. He says what he says about Durant, and Durant's not LeBron. And like, I'm okay with his thoughts on Kevin Durant. I don't agree, but all right, that's his opinion. If he thinks Kevin Durant's not a great team player and LeBron would have made the Nets better, okay, that's his opinion. That seemed to make a lot of headlines just because he was critical of anytime you include LeBron in a conversation and then Kevin Durant fires back. Then you got yourself,
it's a fire.
Yeah.
Anytime you're gonna throw out MJ, LeBron, KD, and put yourself in the mix. I mean, you're talking about heavy hitters, in our game.
Well, is Kevin Durant a floor? Is he a good team player? Like
Durant?
Yeah, with what you
absolutely.
Saw in this series.
Like, absolutely.
Would LeBron absolutely. Have made his teammates better in the same situation? Because that's what Scottie's arguing.
I personally just thought Kevin Durant was fatigued. That to me, that had nothing to do with involving your teammates and being selfish. And I just thought KD was fatigued at that moment of the game of playing every single minute yeah. of that game.
Yeah. I kept thinking, okay, using Scottie's logic, then LeBron is going to make Joe Harris make those shots now. James Harden's now going to make some shots. Like, those guys let Durant down. By necessity, Kevin Durant had to take that shot. Yes.
He was a one-man band in that particular moment. But that is no slight to me. I think the reason why Steve Nash didn't call a timeout, there's no way that Milwaukee was going to be able to set their defense. And I'm going to roll the dice. Kevin Durant's been fantastic for us the last three ball games. I'm going to roll with my home run hitter, and he came up short. That's no slight to saying LeBron would have been better in that moment. We've seen the history of Kevin Durant make big-time shots throughout his career. He was half an inch from sending Milwaukee home anyways. Yeah. So I disagree on Scottie on that end. I don't think it's a midlife crisis. I think he just wants people to remember he was the second part of a duo, one of the greatest duos this game has ever seen. And basketball and historians like yourself, like myself, we know. I think it's the generation that's the younger generation really doesn't know who Scottie Pippen is. And the last doc didn't help in terms of how they feel about him.
Reg on the call with Marv for the Bucks and the Hawks on TNT. Watching Chris Middleton, it feels like he's the closer for this team. He's not the star, but when Chris Middleton plays well, the Milwaukee Bucks win. Does he know his role on this team?
Yes, and you are 100% correct. And I think I said that on the air last night. You have to have the ball in his hands 3 minutes or less when the game is close, because Giannis doesn't make free throws and they're going to intentionally foul him. And he doesn't have an offensive game where he can create his own shot. I almost would say Drew Holiday is second in terms of command of having the ball in their hands. Both of those guys can make plays. Giannis is the best player. He's the most talented on that team. He is like, through 3.5 quarters, he's going to set this team up and put them in the right position to win. But when it's closing time, you put the ball in Chris Middleton's hands and let him finish. And case in point was last night. He had struggled in games 1 and 2, 15 points apiece, 30 points in 2 games, and he erupts for 20 in the fourth. That's just how he is. That's how he's built.
Feels like he can win a game for you, but he can lose a game for you.
He can shoot you out sometimes,
yeah.
But I'd rather a player be over-aggressive than under-aggressive. And he kind of shot him out of game one. He kept shooting and 6 for 23. And I think he wasn't deferring as much as he should have in game one, and it hurt him. But we also saw the flip side in game 3 for Middleton.
It's amazing that the Hawks are this far, because that lineup is banged up. Now you got Trae Young banged up. It's a credit to Nate McMillan and that team. But I look at that lineup and that bench, and I go, I wonder what they'll be like at full strength next season.
Well, you get DeAndre Hunter back. I give Bojan Bogdanović a lot of credit, playing on one leg. He looked a little bit better early on in game 3 last night, in game 4, but it just wasn't quite the same effectiveness that we saw early on in these playoffs, and certainly towards the end of the regular season, to take some pressure off Trae. Then when Trae tweaks his ankle, he came back. He was an absolute. You just don't know where the scoring is going to come from. It's been by committee for them to get to this point. But with all those guys banged up, this is a tall order for them to. Now, again, Trey could be fine. He could be at 80, 85% and still put on a great performance. But with Holiday dogging him, picking him up full, being very physical with him, if he can't get around him, and then sometimes when they switch off Giannis on him with that size and length, and then they're funneling him to Brooke Lopez, it's a tall order. I agree with you. I give Nate and his staff a lot of credit. But maybe the end is near here. I'm not saying Atlanta cannot come back, but if Trey is not at close to 100% and making some of those crazy shots that we saw before the injury last night, it's going to be very difficult for Atlanta.
You got Clippers Suns coming up tonight, but I can't help but think every time I see a cutaway of Kawhi Leonard, what's his future in playing with this knee that feels like this is going to be there the rest of his career? And does he want to be here? You know, I don't know. He's a mystery here. He's up in the suite, not even down on the floor. I don't know. What do you gather out of this situation?
He's a hard dude to figure out, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone knows but Kawhi. I'm sure his teammates know his intentions. And I'm not saying Kawhi's a bad guy. I love Kawhi, you know, from the same hometown. I love his demeanor. I love his game. But look, a knee issue is serious. The fact that we're not getting any updates on it tells me more than, you know, I need to know, because I don't think he's coming back in the series, even if it goes seven or if they get, you know, to the NBA Finals. But it's a little weird that instead of being up in a suite, he would be on the floor, because as a teammate, I could get more information from a two-time Finals MVP in real time, as opposed to him just coming down at halftime, you know, saying, hey, do this, do that, or I see this. I would much rather have my MVP, you know, on the bench, you know, giving Paul George, you know, giving Patrick Beverly, giving Terrence Mann, who's played unbelievable. I mean, Mann could really use a lot of this information from Kawhi, but it is what it is. I mean, it doesn't diminish how great of a player he is.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to invest. Like, the Clippers are invested in him, but do I want to have a guy who is, you know, he's high maintenance. Like, you really have to gear for him for the regular season, everything about it. I don't know. As they move on, do you move on with Kawhi Leonard?
Well, if I'm a franchise, I'm moving on with Kawhi.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's a... when healthy and whole.
Yeah, but I don't know if he will be.
But you saw in that Dallas series alone, in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I know. I love it. I just don't know how consistent that is, Reg. I don't know, as they move forward, that knee's not getting any better. Feels like it's chronic. It feels like it's going to be there the rest of his career.
What you want to do is manage Kawhi until you get to the playoffs. And knock on wood that he doesn't get hurt like he did now. With no games and back-to-back, if he can stay healthy, his history has proven that he is a, you know, Hall of Famer, two-time MVP type player, defensive player. So when healthy and whole, yeah. I'm rolling with Kawhi. You got to get him there. That's the problem.
I know.
You got to manage and get him there. Once you're there, you let him take over.
If you're Damian Lillard, do you want to stay in Portland? You're bringing in Chauncey Billups. Like, what's that mean for Damian Lillard? Is that going to improve their chances dramatically that he's going to play in meaningful games?
Well, I think the next 3-4 months are going to be very important in terms of what kind of moves Chauncey and that leadership group of the Blazers do. Because I agree, you're going to have to show Damian Lillard, okay, I'm serious about winning the championship here. Because, look, of all the players that have asked to be traded, and Lillard has never said one word. He's been a ride or die with them. I think Chauncey was a great hire for them. I do. Having played against Chauncey, I know his mindset. He's a great communicator. He's a great leader. He's been around. He's a champion. And it's going to have some heartfelt conversations between Chauncey and Lillard. And Lillard has to be open and honest in terms of what he wants. Who would you love to play with? How can we go about executing that and bringing them in? You know, what do you need? Those conversations need to be had, and they need to be had soon. And then you've got to put that pen to paper and try to go out and build a team around them.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
You think so?
Well, I just don't know. Do you have Dame and C.J. McCollum? You know, is that?
I think a move maybe has to be made.
Yeah,
with C.J. I could see C.J. being on the move because you can get something for McCollum.
Yeah,
you can get a draft pick and a veteran player, depending on where it is. You can get some pieces for McCollum, but you know, Nurkic is always hurt. What do you do with him? Zach Collins missed all of last year, always hurt. So, I mean, you got to get some guys that are not as injury prone, that have some experience and that can win some ball games or help you win some ball games along with Lillard.
Reg will be on the call with Marv Albert. When's your next game?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Okay. What are you doing all day?
I'm going to go for a run right here in the A and just relax, get ready for tonight's, you know, Suns-Clippers game.
Are you big in Atlanta?
I'm huge in Atlanta.
Those fans probably, they're not mean-spirited down there.
No, not here.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're lovable. They're like teddy bears here.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Did you play against Dominique?
Of course. Yes.
All right. Did he ever dunk? No, you never.
He never. No.
No.
Olay! Go ahead. Olay, Dominique. Olay! To the hoop. That was Derek McKee's job.
Oh,
poor. I was locking up Randy Whitman and John Battle. Those were my defensive assignments right there for the Hawks.
Wow. You locking up Randy Whitman.
Hey. That was one guy. Look, I know I was faster than Randy Whitman.
Baseline jumper, Randy Whitman. That's about it. That's all you had to worry about.
Curl, baseline jumper. Curl, baseline jumper.
All right, Reg. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thank you, Theodore. Love you, Danettes.
That's Reggie Miller. Be on the call tomorrow night with Marv Albert, Eastern Conference Finals, Bucks and the Hawks on TNT. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a Robot Pachinko Machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I want to thank our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America has everything you need. A premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL and NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. If you're looking for rookie sensations, they've got that. How about timeless legends? They've got that. Panini America also breaking new ground on NIL, featuring the biggest names. Caitlin Clark's in there, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and so many more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net. Some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands. They got Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And you got Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instance. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Scottie Pippen's released his own bourbon. It's called Digits, with acclaimed Napa winemaker and distiller Dave Finney of Savage & Cook. He also has a popcorn snack coming out called Husk, has a memoir called Unguarded that's coming out later on this fall. He's a mogul. He's Scottie Pippen on the program. Scottie, how are you?
I'm great, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I'm trying to think the last time we spoke. Probably 6 years ago. You're making some headlines here, Scotty.
Dan, I'm always making headlines. I need to keep my mouth closed.
Is there anything that you want to clarify, put in context from the GQ article?
Not really. I mean, I think with the Kevin Durant thing, I think that people may not have understood the question asking me, you know, had he surpassed LeBron James? From a standpoint of looking at it at basketball and what LeBron James have been able to do from carrying a team, I don't think Kevin Durant is at a position where I can say that he surpassed LeBron James.
Yeah, and you're just being an analyst here looking at this. It didn't feel personal, but it felt like Kevin took it personally. Is that how you kind of assess that?
Yeah, and that's kind of how Kevin takes anything, unless you're praising him and pushing him up. And I wasn't trying to in any way belittle him. I think he's a very talented player. He's shown that by, you know, he's MVP. He has two finals MVPs. But still, the question that I answered was based on him and LeBron's conversing.
How would you guard him, and how different would that be in guarding LeBron?
Well, Dana, I'm going to be honest. The way I played the game, they would have to come back in my era and play. I can't play in today's era. This is a non-touch game. This is a shooter's game where there are not any contact. I played in an era where the game was physical, and you had to physically be ready for that type of challenge night in and night out. It wasn't a game where you knew you were going to get open shots or you weren't going to get knocked to the floor. To ask me how I would guard those guys would be difficult for me if I'm looking at today's rules.
If Durant was playing by 1995 rules against you?
I mean, it would be a totally different game for him. He wouldn't be the same player that he is today. His ball handling would be limited because you could get into a player's body. But not just Durant, I mean, every player. I mean, the game had more physicality to it where you could pretty much guard a player from 94 feet and use your defensive skills to try to take him out of the game. And that's not where today's game is.
Although LeBron could play in 1995, the physicality probably wouldn't affect him as much, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Kevin Durant couldn't play. I'm just saying he would not be that type of scorer. Now, on the other hand, LeBron James doesn't look to be a horrific scorer when he plays the game. He plays the game in a whole different mindset. He utilizes teammates. He looks to be a distributor more so than a scorer, but he's a very effective scorer because of his size and his strength.
Do you think LeBron would have made the Nets better, that they would have gotten in, they'd still be playing?
I can't say that by saying yes.
Okay.
But it would have been a whole different look had LeBron been on the court. He's more of a distributor. Kevin Durant is a scorer. So you're going to be looking at a guy that's going to be playing more for triple doubles instead of trying to score 40 or 50. I'll say that.
Help me understand the GQ article where you talked about the 1994 playoff game when you refused to go back in the game and Phil set up the play for Tony Kukoc.
Well, I mean, it's not much to be said. If you go back and look at when Scottie Pippen entered the Bulls and when Tony Kukoc entered the Bulls and who deserved the last shot of the game.
No. I understand that, Scottie. I'm just going by what you said. You said you need to read between the fine lines. And then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a rise. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan, can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move.
Well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot and you put me out of bounds? That's what I mean, racial. Like, that was Scottie Pippen's team.
But
Scottie
Phil
Pippen
then,
was but, on pace to be an MVP that year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why would you put him in a position not to be successful? Why wouldn't you put him in a position to succeed? Michael Jordan is not there. So who's next in line for you?
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that. You know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle. And everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
Well, it feels like he's disloyal. I don't know if that makes him a racist.
Well, that's your
yeah
way of putting it out, and I have my way. I was in the locker room with him. I was in practices with him. You're looking for him afar.
Yeah, and look, that's why I wanted to have you on. But I go back, and Phil designed a play for Steve Kerr when Mike was there. And Mike didn't have a problem with that, did he?
I don't understand. You're not setting me up to answer the right question. What do you mean Phil set up a play for Steve Kerr? He didn't set that play up for Steve Kerr. He set that play up for Michael Jordan.
I thought in the huddle, Mike says, I'm going to throw you the ball. You'll be open at the foul line. And Phil had nothing to do with that?
And you don't want to get this show started because it'll take us a long time. Do you know all those cameras that's sitting in that huddle who they was working for?
The NBA.
So you know who Michael was speaking to when he said that, right? That was planned. That was speaking to the camera. That wasn't speaking out of what we're going to have to do, what the play is going to be. That was speaking to the camera. Had John Stockton not came down, trust me. But that was building his own documentary because he knew he was controlling the cameras. You understand English?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those cameras that was working were working basically for Michael Jordan. Not for the Chicago Bulls.
But
they were building the Come Fly With Me, the Air Jordan videos. That's what it was. That was not naturally spoken.
Okay. All right.
That was rehearsed.
Okay. Did you guys understand that he was doing a documentary that last year?
We understood from Phil Jackson that the NBA wanted to do some behind-the-scenes footage for the team documentary. That's what we was understood. That's what we were sold. But that wasn't how it all went and died.
You phased out a little bit there with your connection. So, I wasn't pausing because I didn't understand what you were saying. Just wanted to let you know. But you feel like there's anger with you or clarification or something. I don't know. I'm trying to get a feel for this.
I think it's more clarification.
Because you had a great career.
I'm not angry at all. Yes, I've had a great career. Wonderful time in Chicago, and it is what it is. But I think there needs to be some clarification, you know, about a lot of things that happened, whether it was in the documentary or through the GQ ad that I spoke on.
Yeah, I didn't know, you know, how you were portrayed in the documentary, and obviously it was slanted. But I just, if everybody knew you signed a bad contract, did it need to be brought up that you signed a bad contract? Like, I don't know. It felt like it was piling up.
I think my biggest thing with the documentary was that Michael, who didn't play in 94, who was selling a video based on The Last Dance, was something that he sort of tried to pull out to show that our winning was all about me. And this is what everybody else did when I wasn't around. Because he didn't need that in his documentary. I mean, he wasn't on the team.
Yeah.
You know? And if anything, if you're going to show that you called Phil, why didn't you show that you called Phil to bat for me? I mean, I probably was the only man standing who had been there with him back in the early 80s. But yet, he comes back the next year because it was getting good. We weren't fading away.
Have you talked to Michael since the documentary?
No.
Do you want?
Not really talk. We kind of talked during it a little bit, but not, no.
Do you want to?
No, I mean, I think we've both moved on in our life. There's nothing to be holding on to that went on 20 plus years ago.
What did you think?
And there's nothing for us to talk about that. I mean, we could talk about our life and our families and our golf game or something, but there's no, we ain't got to go back and clarify nothing that happened in the 90s.
What did you think when he said he was going to go play baseball?
I didn't really think about it. I was really focused on my own craft at that time, but I thought
it was a big decision, though.
Yeah, it was a big decision, but it was a selfish decision, but it was kind of who Michael Jordan was, and that's was a guy that kind of believed that he can do anything on his own.
The relationship was just we're teammates, and that was about it?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were excellent teammates. I mean, I think we tried to make more out of it sometime than what it really was. But, you know, we were great court teammates who had a very good understanding of each other and what it took to win.
Talking to Scottie Pippen, he has a new bourbon out, Digits. That's been in the works for a while. How did you come up with this idea?
I see, you know, I've been a little boozer for quite a while. I think winning here in Chicago and spending a lot of cold winters here. So I used to be a bit of a Crown Royal drinker. And during the pandemic, me and my business partner just kind of sitting around talking, and he said, hey, you should create your own bourbon. And he said, I got an idea. And he had been in the wine business for quite some time. So he had a little bit of confidence that he could, I guess, get through the doors and into Savage & Cook, which is Dave Finney's company.
What's next?
Well, there's a few things. I've got my Hus popcorn, which is a superfood, and it's something that we're looking forward to launching here in the next couple of weeks.
What's in this book that's coming out in the fall?
Just pretty much about my career, you know, starting up, growing up in a small town, Hamburg, Arkansas, and, you know, advancing on to Central Arkansas. Just kind of, you know, my life and what channels and all that I went through trying to get into the NBA and, you know, what it was like playing with Michael and Phil and playing for the Bulls organization.
I got to believe there's going to be something in here that's going to get you in trouble, Scotty. I'm like, right? There's got to be something that's coming out in this book, right?
Dan, I don't get in trouble. I try to keep everything
trouble. On. Trouble may find you, Scotty. I don't know.
It's just, yeah. Some every time I open my mouth, somehow it seems to try to drive me down a trouble path. But I'm really not trying to mislead anybody. Or
did you ever play Jordan one-on-one in practice?
No.
How would that have gone?
It would have been interesting. He had his moments where he was at a high, and I had my moments in my career without I was at a high. So it would have been an interesting matchup. But in my era, I never really believed in one-on-one, and that's kind of where the game has evolved into today.
By the way, on that draft night when you and Olden and Polonese were traded for one another,
yes.
I'm sitting right there, and you guys had hats on. So you have your Seattle Supersonics hat on, and then all of a sudden you hear and a trade to announce. The Bulls and Supersonics are swapping first-round picks. So you and Olden Polonese changed hats right there in front of us. It was wild to see that. You ever wonder what your career would have been like if you weren't traded?
I mean, I would have had some pretty good teammates, especially if we would have still landed Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. You know, it is a team that we played in the finals, so that sort of fit.
That would have been a pretty good team to join. That would have been fun to go against Mike with that Seattle team.
Oh, that would have been a lot of fun. Yeah. I don't know if he would have made it that far. If you know what I mean.
Well. See, there you go. You're stirring it up again.
I'm just saying.
Mike needed you. He didn't win without you, right?
That's what they tell me.
Well, good luck with the bourbon. It's called Digits. And the popcorn snack called Husk. And then the book. I'll probably be talking to you in the fall because I'm sure there's something in this book, Unguarded, Scotty. But
I appreciate it, Dan. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. And I appreciate giving me the opportunity to ask you to put this in context. And you're certainly not afraid. That's for sure. But thank you, Scotty.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Scotty Pippen. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.